in-law are taking their little baby back home to my son-in-law. They're from Seattle, and the family is huge Seattle Seahawk fans. So I am making them Seattle Seahawk masks. And they're leaving. They're leaving today, so I'm like frantically trying to get these masks done. So don't mind me. Thank you for your understanding.
My sister from Seattle.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's heading back in a couple days.
Yeah, they're really excited. We have a new grandson, and he's only 4 months old, and the in-laws have not been able to see him yet. So they're risking the flight, which they're very nervous about, but they're very excited to go see their my son's parents, my son-in-law's parents. So it'll be fun for them. Anyway, hi, everyone. How was your week?
I already answered.
Yeah.
So it feels like a busy week for me.
Yeah, is that right? Why?
Just a lot of, you know, it seems like school didn't end.
Yeah.
There's a lot of school going on this week.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm at Martha's school.
Okay. And you did the camps.
You're doing the camps. Not doing the camps. I'm actually teaching I'm the elementary coordinator at Summit.
Yep.
I'm teaching the elementary teachers how to use Google Classroom and how to use computers.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I need. Yes. Can you come to my school?
Sure. I've developed a whole unit for Google Classroom now.
Wow. That's great. It is. Yeah. Cambridge is offering a lot of online classes on how to use some of these resources. And I guess they've decided at our level, going forward, we're going to be using, whatever online we do, we'll be using Seesaw, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with. I'm not. I've heard great things about it. We did use Google Classroom for our third years. And that was a nice way to communicate. But our younger kids really were struggling with that. So anyway, I'm a little at loss with this week's topic because, I mean, we did talk a little bit last week about how we might help the kids use the materials a little bit easier by having them make their own or making those kits or those packets or, those like sets of materials. Yeah. Does anybody else have ideas of what they're going to do?
So are you talking about when they first come back, making materials for them to bring home in case we go back in or extra work at home? So making sets like, maybe the ones who need the movable alphabet, but more like the stamp game type stuff and things like that.
But it's also for use in school because of the contamination. Yeah. I think it was Sherelle who was talking about making individual stamp games so that you don't have to worry about cleaning everything in between. She also advised to use foam rather than paper because of the dexterity of the little fingers not working so well. So she gave us some beautiful resources we can share.
Yeah.
I hope she says it's okay to share.
I'm not sure what you mean about foam. When you copy them, you mean?
Yeah, so I guess the pattern calls for you to use paper, but we found that the paper is too hard for them to move.
Yeah.
So instead of printing them on paper, getting those foam squares that you can cut.
Yeah.
And in the stamp game, actually the stamps out of foam pieces versus paper pieces.
And what she showed was stamps already cut. They come blue, green, red, and yellow. You just don't need the yellow.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's one idea to keep the individual materials safe for that particular person, and then they could bring it home if we go remote, that kind of thing.
And knowing that not your whole class, not everyone is using the stamp game, so identifying those kids who would be using it, and then when they're done with the stamp, passing it on to the younger child who's now moved on. So you know, it's not making 24 stamp games. It might be making 8. You know, I don't know how many kids you have on stamp, but anyway, that was one of the ideas.
I have a question based on today's topic. Yep. And that is, how do we teach? And I use the word around, but I don't think that's what I'm talking about. Around masks, meaning So much of my teaching is based on what I see in the children, whether they're pleased or they're, you know, they look, they don't get it. And when they're covered like this, I suppose it's going to be eyes to read. But then again, we're going to need to teach them about not taking things personally. If somebody, somebody might say something with a smile, another child. It's just something I'm thinking about now. We can't solve all the problems at once, but when we were told that it's sensorial learning, first thing that came up for me was how much I depend on the visual of seeing a child. Body language, of facial expression. We teach that to children in general, you know, especially if there's a child who's in need of social skills. Look at their eyes, you know, look at their mouth, they're smiling. That means, you know, you can do a social autopsy that way. But I don't know how I would do that with masks. And I'm reminded of just going to the grocery store, and usually I smile at people when I see them.
Yeah.
And they get these blank stares back, like I'm staring at them, but I'm not. I'm just greeting them. So it's a different, it's just a different way of thinking of things. That's my question. And then my response, I have a response, which is we're going to rely on outdoor learning. And what a beautiful way to use all the senses, hearing, sight, smell, observe something. It brings in all of the senses. So those are our outdoor materials now, whatever we find in the fields and in the woods.
I did go on the AMS Zoom meeting last night that was for our level. Similar idea of meeting and talking about and sharing ideas. And that whole mask thing did come up.
It was,
you know, what is it that, you know, the actually facilitator was saying how he uses a lot of facial expressions, just like you're saying, and how now it's hard for children to know if he's smiling or not smiling. You know, so he was talking more about as a teacher, but you're right, Diana. It's, we read so much in those facial, like I can tell the child needs help. How will I know? There's just so many questions. I don't even know, but I love your idea about outdoor and giving that sensorial, feedback.
Did anything come of that discussion about how will we know?
No. I mean, I know that, as we mentioned, I think someone in our group last week here mentioned the teachers will have the clear masks on, that actual apparatus, so that the kids will be able to see us. I don't believe that's the best for the children. I think that's kind of hard for a young child to be wearing such a large clear mask, but maybe that's something, maybe they're making child size ones. That would be wonderful.
It makes me think of emoticons and texting, how you choose just the right emoticon to express yourself so somebody knows that you're kind of kidding, but not really. And, you know, ideally we would have little stickers we put on our
face. I was just thinking that, or maybe like a necklace or something that has different faces on it.
Yeah.
Are they asking for the children to wear the plastic covers?
No, we had mentioned in this group last week that some teachers were, the school was using the plastic for the teachers. But I do wonder if they do make child size. I bet they do.
They do, and there's a mask company that's making them because they were doing it for the hospitals, and they decided with schools opening, they'd start distributing to schools as well. Uh-huh. But I don't know, from what I hear, it's not the safest, especially mm-hmm. for children, because it doesn't prevent.
Yeah, when they sneeze and they can put their hand under now. And
It might be where we have to teach the children, you know, when you're doing online learning, some of them might be used to that, but that's like you have to communicate more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have it as, you know, as Diana said, like a lesson, it's like, can you tell I'm smiling? Can you tell I'm frowning?
Oh, that's good.
Now that you can't, you need to help me out by saying I'm confused, or can you do that again? Or I need to practice this, but I need you to check in with me.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of work with the RULER program out of Yale.
And what is it called?
RULER. It's a Mark Brackett out of Yale. It's an emotional intelligence program that he's adapted for schools. And it's been a lot of really helping kids to identify emotions, obviously. So I think we're going to start relying a little bit more on language, especially for elementary students, like we were just talking about. Like, so it's, I mean, it is about reading facial, but it's also getting them to be able to talk a little bit more about their emotions. And I know for us, I mean, the first few weeks are just going to be orienting into this whole new thing. And that's going to be a little bit of the grace and courtesy that we start to work on. And I think we're thinking as far as masks go, you know, we're going to suggest, you know, the possible use of the clear face shields, knowing that they're not 100%, but the cloth masks aren't either. You know, and something's better than nothing. And I think if it's more comfortable and there is a barrier. I know there's also one that's coming out that's like, instead of wearing it here and having it down, you actually wear it kind of around, so it kind of sits and it comes up. So, and I think that my wife ordered one. She's going to try it out because she's been doing child visits and practicing with all of them. And so it's tough. But then you're always going to have students who get a medical exemption. You know, like we have some pediatricians as parents, and they're like, we're getting requests every day from families for notes saying that my child doesn't have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
You know, if we get one, we can't force a child to wear one. We can suggest a different type. Mm. Or then it's, you know, it's no one preventative measure. It's a combination of all of them. So, you know, that child, maybe you allow for more distance then, you know. Yeah. Or,
our school is having, I think one of my students is going to be home. And so they're buying into technology that makes it so we can be together and together as a class, and then she can still be part of it. It's something called an OWL.
Meeting OWL?
Yeah. I mean, it's expensive, so.
Right now, the cheapest one is like back ordered till January or something.
Wow. Oh, boy.
There's another company that's
making. What does that do? What does the Reading OWL do?
Apparently it reacts to the sound of a voice, so it zooms in the camera on the person speaking.
Oh.
And it goes remotely, so somebody who's tuning in from home can feel part of the class instead of being remote. You know, the one-on-one we have in all the boxes, they would be part of the classroom, is my understanding.
I see, yeah.
I heard Nancy say there's another company making them too.
Yeah, I'd have to research it, but because we're doing the same thing. We have two students who are going to be remote in our upper OWL, and one of our parents' husband uses the OWL at work and loves it because you can zoom in on the speaker, and then it also, because it's a 360, you can see the participants at the same time. I don't know how, we haven't tested it yet, but he also said there's another company that's making a cheaper version that does the same thing. I just have to Google what it is. I think it starts with a P, but I haven't gone down the rabbit hole of trying to find it.
See, what have you been doing preparing for teaching Google Classroom?
Yeah, exactly. I know. And I also work with Diana at Metsy, so
it's a training program.
But yeah, trying to find time to, you know, prepare for the school year that feels like it's racing towards us. But it was another, I think we're going to see a lot of those devices hitting the market.
So are you saying that your classroom will be set up like with a camera that the child at home can see what you're doing? Is that what this OWL is?
Yeah, we're going to stick it on a tripod.
Okay.
And I'm still working through the logistics. but I'm thinking that we're going to have an open Zoom and come up with a schedule so the student knows when lessons are being given.
Okay. Yeah.
Then they can go into that Zoom, or we can invite them in if we're doing like a small group on something that he's or she's part of. We have one of each. And then at the moment, I'm tasked with making online assignments to go with the lessons because they won't have the same resources. So there's a lot of coordinating of scheduling to make it work.
A lot of work too.
But I have a feeling as we go into the year, it's going to expand to more students in that kind of environment.
Yeah. So are you guys saying that the Google Classroom didn't work so well for the younger students? Because I had a hard time with that. And Seesaw is more for first, you know, the 6, 7, 8 year olds.
We're changing to Seesaw from, we didn't use Google Classroom. We used an asynchronous site where we put up videos and then we had some synchronous learning, but we're using Seesaw because there's so many valuable resources people are putting up for Montessori materials, but also it's easier to hold the children accountable. So one of our biggest problems was we would do this and it was hard to keep families accountable because they would have two working parents helping the cause. And this makes it so that they can easily send a picture back or send something back, and the teacher can be responsible for keeping them up to.
That's what I heard, because the third graders, I'd post assignments on Google Classroom with due dates. And so they were easily able, and they were all writing assignments. I mean, there was some help with how these third graders could take a picture of their work, but it was involved. And as I understand from a teacher who had her children in public school were using Seesaw, and talking about how great that was, that they could send their work back much easier, making it more, like you said, accountable, because we had so many, you know, the first and second graders, if mom was savvy enough or dad was savvy enough to take a picture of their work and send it to us via email, I'd say I had 3 students whose parents were able to do that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, unless it was a computer program that we assigned, I had no idea if they were doing the work or not.
Yep. No.
I think we're doing parent education this time around too. So we're hearing today about as close as we can come to a plan and for the whole school. And then I've just been reading newsletters back and forth. I think there's going to be a time where we explain to parents what we're doing and what help we need as a community to come together around the child. I had a question for Todd. Your wife, what level is she teaching? And when you were talking about this mask, because I've seen people wearing them in Trader Joe's, but did you mean that it was see-through or the regular?
Yeah, right now, this year, just because of group sizes and what we need to do, Megan's going to be in primary. But she, it's see-through. It's a shield. So it just, instead of resting on the forehead in like a hat, somehow it becomes more comfortable and molded onto the clavicle, I guess.
Does that look like a dog collar for dogs that can't, you know, when they have surgery and they're not supposed to?
That was the first image I popped into my head when I heard about it, yes.
I'll look it up.
Although I like this, Todd, because it will eliminate that ability to put your hand up because it's coming from here up, which is you'd have to go like this to wipe your nose. So it sounds more safe
and hot.
They're all going to be hot.
I know. I think
I'm going to be neck being hot as well as this. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm going to schedule times for them just to step out on the porch for a few minutes and breathe and whatnot, because we're going to hear about that all day. I'm hot, I can't breathe, you know.
What school are you in?
Vineyard Montessori School.
Oh.
Vineyard.
Yep, okay. So you must know Pat Thompson very well.
I do.
Yeah, she's really
she comes to visit us. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's my hero. She really is. Well, any other ideas about, I love the, when you say, Diana, going outside, is it not only using nature, but actually working outside as well?
Yeah, I'm on the outdoor committee. We have a classroom committee, an outdoor committee, a safety committee, more. There are 2 more, remote learning, buildings and grounds. And so we all have put recommendations. All the teachers have been involved with the administration, but we're putting forth recommendations based on what we've talked about. And so we're talking about, you know, we started with pavilions and beautiful wedding tents and things like that. And we came down to using free pallets, the kind that you get from a gardening shop, and making walls with a tarp and a platform. I'm not as clear on that. If it sounds kind of risky, it's because I don't have all the details down. I'm not somebody who does that kind of stuff. Using straw bales, not hay bales, but straw bales to prevent wind and things like that. We'll have a shed to put in materials that we'll use outside. And we went from having these great plastic things you sit on to having a little desk to, hey, you know what, clipboards aren't so bad. Or making a clipboard out of a piece of, I'm looking for cardboard, but you know what that looks like. And putting on a clip. Students will have their own pencils, things like that. But somebody's going out and dedicating a place on our lawn, well, I call it a lawn, the upper field for each pod to meet for the morning meeting and to go back to. That's where their setup will be. And it's up to the teachers to determine how they want to use their pallets, if they want to use them, their tarp. And then we'll all have access to the 19 acres of land we have so we can go to the stream. We have to sign up for times to do that. We have to get technology for outside because we'll be alone in a pod. So usually one teacher stays with the group and the other goes down. So we've thought of all those things. I think we're pretty lucky because of the space we have. Not all schools have that space, but in determining what would be safest for the kids, the ideal is to have at least 3 hours outside.
Wow.
And we were told, in the beginning, we all thought, oh my gosh, we're only teaching outdoors. Then we found it was 3 hours. And now we've been told that you can schedule it for an hour and a half outside, come back in, go out, but you're switching with your team partner.
Yeah, your group.
So you have to account for wiping. So
they're not sitting on the straw bales that's holding the sides from blowing. Is that correct?
Right. So we're using yoga mats. I mean, they're going to be provided cut yoga mats for sit-upons, or actually, you know, you could make a sit-upon the way we did in Girl Scouts. Forgive me, Todd. And maybe not everybody who went to Girl Scouts. But
my mom was a brownie leader.
So. There you go. So sit-upons. Or some people say, well, we're going to be wearing rain pants anyway. We're going to come up with a list of things that the parents need to send in, because we did a survey and found out that the thing that got in the way most for outdoor learning was students not having the right gear for the weather.
Yeah.
So we're going to prepare the parents to be prepared for the weather. The school might invest in at least rain pants for every child or something like that to show that
how are you holding up the sides of the tarps?
Like this. I'm sorry, I don't know, because I'm not a, maybe there's PVC too. I don't know, I was listening to the people who were doing shelter, but I was doing a survey.
When you find out, if you wouldn't mind sharing, that would be
sure. Awesome.
Yeah, okay. I'm just taking notes for my school.
So we were thinking about doing tents too, and we have one big one up now, but we are going to need sides. We have a lot of wind because we're right near the water. And you were saying that the sides would be too flappy?
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I said we would use straw bales to prevent wind. You know, you could set up your thing any way you want. I really don't have firsthand knowledge of it, but that the straw bales prevent wind better than something like a pallet wood or a tarp. The tarp that we have an A-frame and the tarp that was on it blew off in the winter. So we're making decisions based on that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We would have regular tent, like a wedding tent where there would be strong.
Yeah. So yeah, you would need sides, and then if you put the hay bales along the edges, it would keep the tarp from blowing into the building, or or you could stake them down. I'm trying to think of my camping days. We had tarp poles that had to be supported with spikes, but that, you know, like I'm thinking of my school, I have a brick patio, I don't have grass. So how do I set that up if we are going back, you know?
Right. Yoga mats could help cushion a little bit. Also, I'm sorry. The head of school brought in stumps for people to sit on. That might not help on your patio, but
No, we had that one. Some stumps are great. I'm just trying to think of how do I support the poles on a brick patio, but I'm sure.
Guidelines with those sandbags.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Tube sandbags that you get for flooding problems.
Yeah, but that will.
Guideline and wrap it under that. At least, you know, kid won't push it over.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, and then you gotta watch out. You've gotta mark all the lines so that kids don't walk into the lines with
put little orange tape or something on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. In terms of curriculum for outdoor learning, it has been brought to our attention. For lower elementary, you've got the whole universe right in your, you know, backyard. Yes. For upper elementary, they feel like they need more concrete explanation of the curriculum and how that would work outdoors.
Yeah.
Middle school has it because they've invested in outdoor learning already. Brain power. We have citizen science that the middle school has done with the lower elementary. But I just wanted to say that that's something that's come up. I'm not sure. We're going to get together by levels to determine what curriculum we're going to prioritize outside. Because we're not going to bring materials like Stamp Game outside or anything that can get lost. But why not bring botany?
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got it right there.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm also thinking like lit groups or reading or shared reading would be really nice out there.
Yeah.
All you need is maybe a flip chart or something and an easel to hold it up.
Yeah.
So it's not
something to carry up those things. That came up too. Like, yeah. You know, maybe two sturdy upper L kids could carry up the board. Somebody who needs proprioceptic help. But, you know, in general, you're going to want to think about if you're moving outdoors, a way to do that.
You know,
I can need backpacks and.
I can share an easy way that I did when I used to teach at Knowles when we did classes camping. You know those closed cell sleeping pads. The foams. It's almost like a thicker yoga mat. You put that in a white garbage bag and it makes a rectangle, and you use the white garbage bag as a whiteboard.
Oh, funny.
Oh, because wow. You know, we were living out of backpacks and we were teaching different hard skills.
Yes.
But you weren't going to carry things firm in your backpack. So we would double over the sleeping pad, put the garbage bag over it, and it worked really well. You got pretty good with it.
Wow. That's a good tool for if we go, you know, when we go online, for the children to have their own whiteboard. Instead of having to buy one for every student, they can make one or create one and just have their own.
Nancy, I wasn't a happy camper growing up. I didn't go camping. I went to music camp. Could you? I don't understand it visually.
If you give me a second, I can run into my area. I might have an easy to find. Let me see if I have one in there.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was just thinking even if they get a piece of foam core and they wrap it around and tape it so they have a board there for themselves all the time.
Yeah. Well, the dollar store sells really $1 cheap whiteboards, you know, little size ones that they could write on. So we've used those.
That's good to know.
Yeah, Cambridge is a pretty wealthy city. They, during the at-home time, they sent home all first and second graders supply of whiteboards and markers and things like that. Unfortunately, they don't recognize Montessori goes through grade 3. So our third graders didn't. And then you had families who had first, second, and third graders, and the package arrives for just the first and second graders, and the poor third grader doesn't get anything. It's just, you know, stupid things like that. But
what is the point of whiteboards for every student?
Well, it was like, so if they could, if you were having a Zoom meeting, and I mean, this is, you know, more public school-like, but you're having some kind of lesson and you can say, okay, everyone, you know, want to write down what you think this is, and they could hold up their whiteboard.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, even when we were playing games to kind of do community building, we were like, okay, I write down, you know, draw a picture, and we played a game. You know, what do we think it is? Draw a picture, something in the classroom that you miss, and they would draw
Just little things like that.
You know? No, that's great. Thank
and
you.
Kids love whiteboards. They just love whiteboards. So it kind of motivated them to do their math on the whiteboard and things
like that. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I could see them doing the stamp game and stuff there. And also, we do sight word bingo. If you put that up, they all love that stuff too. And
But the dollar store definitely has $1 whiteboards. If you get there fast before every other teacher grabs them all up.
We use them for foundations in the classroom, but I didn't consider sending them home.
Yeah,
thank you. Nancy, I think you have it.
I have it. This is just an insulated mat they use on. So it's a little firmer than a yoga mat. And all I did is fold it in half. You have this rectangle, and then you fit a white garbage bag over it.
Oh, white garbage. I was picturing my green bag.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have green ones too, otherwise I'd throw that on there. A black one doesn't work, but if you put a white garbage bag on it, you can have a nice little whiteboard.
Thank you so much.
And it's not, and you know, you can leave this out at your pods.
Yeah.
Because nothing's going to happen with it.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
And it's a lot lighter than an easel.
Thank you.
Yeah. Although I'm going to grab the one I used for, hold on, I'll be right back. I'll show you what I had.
It's just like the kids.
Yeah, right.
Let me show you. Back.
Let me share.
I like the idea of the of having kids buy into a way we can talk about our emotions, or just something we could use with wearing masks if they do come in wearing, but letting kids decide because they're so creative.
They are.
The various ways we could do that.
It would be interesting to see some teachers do the, if I'm wearing this necklace, I'm giving a lesson.
Yeah.
Have the kids make like some kind of necklace, have that as a practical life thing, and then they can put, like with the alligator clip, different pictures on it and say, "That's how I'm feeling today."
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If they have like a circle of things, they can flip out happy, sad, you know, angry, got it all there.
But
are you joking?
And they could even make them themselves.
Yeah.
I can't find the one that I was going to show you. I bought it at Staples. It's a little, like, it's like a, you know, the post-it papers that you can write on, the chart paper. Yeah. It was one of those, but one side was a whiteboard and one side was chart paper, and it had a little hand. It was very, you know, the weight of a chart. So it was easy. But my husband made me this years ago. I just bought two white, larger whiteboards, and then he attached it at the top with two, so it can stand like this. And at the time, I had the other side be a cork board, so I could post things on it or whatever. So, and I used, and it had a, it used to have a little handle. Clearly, but this I do bring around the classroom. Like, I just pick it up and I bring it to wherever I'm sitting in the classroom. So that might be another. And I did learn this little string here, because it would open up too much. But anyway, it was easy to move. It's easy to move around the classroom. So that's another idea if you're bringing it out to a pod, that a lighter, smaller version of a whiteboard. And maybe it has two sides of whiteboard, or maybe Velcro on the other side that you can stick.
Can you hold it up again so I can take a picture?
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have one that has a chalkboard on the other side.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So here,
maybe the other, like a side view, because that.
There.
Thank you.
Yes.
I got one of you too.
But also the one at Staples was very helpful. I don't know where I put it, but it had chart paper on one side and a whiteboard on the other side. And it opened up. It closed like this to carry, but then it opens up like this to set up wherever you are. So that was helpful for at home. I didn't have the one I just showed you at home. I just grabbed that at the end of the school year. Yeah, there's a lot of different things out there that I'm sure we're going to become quite aware of as the time goes on, right?
You guys, do any of you have younger kids, like kindergartners that are on the cusp that are coming into your classes, or are they separated and they stay in primary?
Yeah, at Tobin, it's public school, so they stay in Children's House, so they don't move in.
Traditional, yeah. I think of our kids coming in as kindergartners, because last year we got a group of students that were first graders that were so far developmentally in kindergarten still that we had to change our teaching to accommodate them. Now this next group coming in, I don't know their personalities, of course, but they will have had 3 or 4 months without being in that socialized environment, total of 6 with the summer included. I think we have to go back. So I haven't had that experience, but I think we have to get ideas from the primary teachers on what to do to get them up to speed for first grade. That's my gut.
Are you all offering the option for families to stay home if they choose to, or is it only on a need to kind of thing?
At our school? I don't know the answer to that, but we're not coming to school unless, maybe. I don't know.
In Cambridge, they're sending out a survey. It looks like that if we go back, kids will have the option to stay home. So it's going to be a little difficult, as you said. I think one of you was saying that you're going to have to service those children that are at home as well. So it's going to be tricky.
And I did find the name of the other camera that's a lot cheaper.
Oh.
I'm going to spell it because I'm going to mutilate it. It's P-A-N, like pan.
P-A-N, yep.
O-P.
Uh-huh.
P-O, like two, T-O.
Panapo. Panapo.
Panapo, I think is how you'd say it.
P-A-N-O-P-P-O?
O-P-T-T as Tom. Oh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, because it looked like the owl was almost 1,000 and this was 250. So I'm like,
We're mentioning, I'm just going to talk for a second while we wait for Martha to come back. The toddler folks mentioned that they were interested in a way to share resources and pictures of their classroom in between the sessions. And just so you know, MSM has set up a private Facebook group just for the teachers. It's the Montessori Schools of Massachusetts Facebook teacher group. I just put into the chat the link to that Facebook.
Oh, okay, awesome.
And we would love to be more dynamic. And if the youngsters in the group prefer an Instagram account, I'm happy to set that up as well. We just thought we would start with Facebook and see how much that got utilized. So that'll be a resource for you to share in between these sessions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's great, Christina. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So good to see everybody back. We had a really stimulating conversation on the primary level, and I hope other levels did as well. So this is an opportunity for people to just kind of jump in spontaneously and share any insights or ideas or resources that came from your specific group. So I wonder, is anyone here from the infant toddler group, would you be willing to share? And Christine, I don't know how many people were in that group. Did we had some?
We did. We had 6 okay. people on there today. Yep.
Excellent. No pressure, you 6 people, but are there any things that you came up with that just seemed whatever, if there are questions or concerns or responses or resources?
I can share a couple of the topics that we covered. I'm happy to do that.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, I took a lot of notes because I'm also taking notes for members of my school that wanted to participate for whatever reasons. One idea was to have buckets of materials available, specifically with like art supplies that would be frequently used, like Play-Doh and crayons or markers or chunky crayons and whatnot, and each child has one of those like a caddy that they can store in their cubby when they're done, or at a special designated shelf. We talked about making some visuals for the children to help them understand the concept of 6 feet. We talked about how toddlers do a lot of standing at shelves, especially in the beginning of year. So can there be some visual for if you're going to stand on a shelf, this is a good space to stand on, because if other people are doing that too, you will be at a safe distance. I think it was Nancy mentioned using the outdoor environment a lot, especially in the fall when the weather is still nice. We talked about the challenges of nap time and how not only will it be a challenge to separate children 6 feet apart and figure out how to make that work with whatever environment you're in, but how do we also help children fall asleep when we're used to like using our hands and our feet and everything else to help them to sleep? One idea was to consider books on tape and different music or recording of voices, and kind of just playing it by ear, because we don't know, there might be some families that decide that it's only going to be a half day program for them. Maybe they decide not to do naps. So we'll cross that bridge. We talked about PPE equipment, shield or mask or both. What do you feel comfortable with? What are the CDC's guidelines on that? And what about children in masks? I can't remember. I think it was Linda Kay mentioned that she observed a primary classroom and more of the students were actually wearing masks. And I kind of likened that to toilet learning in the sense that when children see more children doing the same thing, they will be more inclined to do that as well. So that's the hope anyway for wearing masks in the classroom and being safe. We talked about hygiene. One idea was that the parents do a health check online before school. And that's compiled by someone who prints out a list of all this and shares that with the teachers or assistants of what children to expect that day, or who hasn't checked in and who hasn't done that health check, in which case the child wouldn't be allowed until that was completed. And then doing a sanitization, hand washing upon entrance, and then hand washing at a sink with soap and water. And then remembering that we will have this kind of new language, and to be consistent with that language, we're keeping our work on the shelf, or that work is not available because it needs to be sanitized. And having faith in the children that we need to continue to be consistent and represent things again and again, but having that faith that they'll make this work. It'll click, it'll happen, it'll work. We just need to be patient and have that trust and faith. Yeah, I think that about covers our notes.
Good job.
Thank you very much. There were a lot of folks in the primary group, and I wonder if any of you would be willing to sort of jump in. And particularly at the end, people came up with a lot of really great ideas for sensorial exercises that can be reproduced at home. No pressure, but is there anybody who wants to jump in and just share some of those ideas?
I can do that.
Please, Sunny.
And
thank
please.
You.
Please add in if I forget something. I was trying to make notes very nicely, but maybe I missed something. So we talked about one idea that I really loved was using red cloth. Somebody suggested that if you have finished using something, there could be some color, some cloth or something that you can put on top of the material to give this idea to everybody. Now that needs to be sanitized. I did talk about giving children their own cleaning trays so that they can, as a part of work cycle, they sanitize stuff as they go. The big question there was what sanitizer will be effective and yet safe for children to use. So everybody discussed different kinds of sanitizers.
Force of nature.
Force of nature and DIC one spray was something that I think needs more researching. That seemed good. Then a lot of people said how they're using outdoors to bring sensorial in the classroom. And they used red ribbons to replicate the red rods. A few of you have been sending materials home, making individual boxes for children to put their own material. So send that home. Somebody charged a fee, material fee, for all the materials so that they can have children take that material home with them and then just keep it. Or making your own sound cylinders or making your own smelling jars using everyday items. Somebody sent a tray, all the practical life stuff, a few works at home so that the children can keep working. We talked about using nature to talk about rough and smooth and heavy and light. And somebody came with a clever idea of using household items to measure longer and shorter. So all that can be done virtually and successfully. We also talked about using food as to find out what shapes, just teaching shapes in creative ways, like put up videos and teach them that. So please chime in if I miss something. So I felt this is what we basically talked about, how to make it virtually more, to make it similar. Somebody also chimed in that they have brown paper bags, which I actually am going to use that. When you take your mask off, you put it in that brown paper bag with your name written on it so that you know this is your bag. That's where you put your mask in when you take your mask break and come back in the classroom. So please chime in if I miss something.
That was very thorough, Sandhya. Thank you. Somebody else also mentioned the children making their own sound cylinders and having their own set in the classroom. But thank you.
Anybody How else? Are you handling your mask breaks? Hello?
We haven't had a chance. We'll go back in fall. So we haven't had a chance. So we are just strategizing in our head. We have no real experience with how we'll do that.
Got it.
Yeah, we were only 7 days into our camp, so the younger children have those brown paper sandwich bags with their name on them with their stuff. So if they're outside, their backpack is outside and their bag is right there. And if they want to take a break, they're just shown to go and put the mask in their little bag and then sanitize their hands. For the older kids, we're really talking this through, but we've decided obviously they've got to take mask breaks, so we're just designating a spot. If you want to take a mask break, go there, and you're going to be alone and everybody will know that you're taking a mask break. You know, take it off, take a little break, and then put it back on and come back into the group. But and obviously if children are playing with their masks and they're just not sanitary anymore, that one either goes in the laundry or it goes in the trash.
Yeah. I'm lucky enough to have a deck next to my room. So I was going to have the children every once in a while go out and take a little mask break, get some fresh air, and then.
How long do the breaks need to be? The mask breaks are like, have they said, like, or it's just.
No, I think no it's such just time. A press.
Yeah.
I think teachers are going to need mask break too. I mean, I know that they're hard to wear. They're hard to wear as a teacher. Just going to the store and the grocery store. So it's like, it's going to be different. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Someone also mentioned clear masks, which I had not heard about before. And I think she wrote that she got them on Etsy. And I think that's a great idea for presenting lessons so they can see your face. You know, what you're saying, if you're pronouncing sounds and things. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, we ordered some with just the mouth. There's like a clear square where your mouth is so the kids can see your, they're called Rapa Nova is where we got them. I'm not sure, but I'm not.
Amazon also has them. If you look for clear masks, you will see they have a really good clear ones covering your face and your nose. I mean, so they have it if you just search them.
They were pretty expensive on, Amazon. I saw some videos where you could actually make them.
Yeah,
I have, you know, I'll probably try making them and see if they're really, you know, that good quality. But because on Amazon, each mask was like $12, which is pretty steep. And I'm sure it would land up much cheaper if you land up making them.
Yeah, those are.
Has anyone had much experience in using them? I was curious because I've heard some people say they fog up and that they end up becoming very uncomfortable. They trap moisture, and I wasn't sure if anyone else had any experience with it. I haven't used any yet, and I was curious.
I ordered some off of Etsy, which should be here hopefully this week, so I haven't tried them yet. But I did hear that if you put a thin film of Dawn dishwashing detergent on it, it stops it from fogging up. But I don't know yet. I mean, just see what happens when they come.
Things we will do next time.
Am I correct about that, Christina? Could you remind me of the time that we're supposed to finish? Could you unmute, please, Christina?
We were supposed to finish about 4 minutes ago. Sorry, Martha. Oh,
we're just getting into another level of conversation. Sorry about that. So we'll be back on next week. I wonder if there were people in the elementary and adolescent groups, Christina?
There was nobody in the adolescent group today, just me. But we did have in elementary 5 people.
So maybe really quickly, since we are over time and this is great conversation, so come back next Wednesday and we'll continue it. Anybody from the elementary group want to share key ideas, key takeaways?
One of the main things that I thought was a great idea, one of the other teachers was saying how it will be hard for the children to read your expression with the mask on your face, and sometimes that's a visual cue whether or not the children understand what the lesson is or what's going on. So maybe have a necklace or something where if they make a comment to a friend, the friend may not understand it's a joke, you know, put up whatever feeling they have, like frustration or a smile or a tired or angry. So we kind of have a better gauge on how they're feeling with their mask on, so we can't read their faces.
Good idea.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for your questions, for sharing, for supporting each other. This is an ongoing conversation, obviously, that will just keep on going for quite some time as we live into this experience. So be well, be safe. Hopefully we'll see you all next Wednesday at 9:30 for our next session of innovation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very informative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Were you sitting in the waiting room early? I'm sorry if I didn't see you.
You.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, good. Because I kept looking to see if you were there, and I realized I was like, oh, I'm sorry if she was sitting there for a while.
Oh, I sat there for a couple moments, but not many.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if you, I have a question about the recording. If you don't hit stop record, does it go somewhere?
It'll ask you if you try to turn off the meeting, it should ask you if you want, where you want to save it.
So, Debbie, you and I were just having a conversation. It looks like both of us recorded.